This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two starts now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a way back Wednesday. Barry with hour number two, songs from the year 2010, which was not an easy year to find songs. And there was not a lot of musical talent on display, but we did our best for you. Whether you like it or not, they're out there for you. We were talking about this Kansas State melee. And you and I got into a little healthy, again, discussion. Back and forth about...
We fight like we're married. Let's be real.
Yeah. So, honey, here's the problem. You and I had different sides of the equation. Mm-hmm. And Pookie, you can join in too about how all of this went down last night and what we liked, didn't like, or agreed with. You might as well start.
Yeah, I didn't like the fact that you go for the steal. It was very Pat Beverly-ish. You knew what you were doing. You're down 20. There's 5 seconds left. You go for a steal for no reason. They're just, everyone's dribbling out the clock. This game is over. You stealing the ball, you're not coming back from 20 with 5 seconds left. It's not happening.
No, Barry, but think about this. You could be a kid that's borderline rotational or otherwise.
That's not going to help you get better playing
there's
time.
Plenty of coaches in America that say he busted his ass till the final buzzer.
And look what happened because of it. Well, he caused a brawl because his dumb ass couldn't just accept the fact that the game was over.
He didn't cause a brawl because of
that. Yes, he did. No one does that with 5 seconds left. You're down 20. Bro, just sit on it. You're over. It's done. You lost.
Barry,
I'm sorry.
I'm fine with the fact
going
that
going for a steal and a layup.
He went for the layup.
He got what he
and
got.
And guess what? Kansas blocked the shot.
Yeah. And then
if you leave it right there, it's over.
No. And then guess what? When your punk ass does that, you get stood over and made a fool of because you tried to be cute and add two more points to the score when the ball game was over. So if someone stands over you after they just sent your stuff into the second row, deal with it. Stop acting like you're upset. You shouldn't have went for the steal and the layup.
Son, your thoughts?
I would say it's not the first time that a player has done that. And I think there's plenty of times on both a college and professional level where that a person has acted like that and it didn't cause a brawl. So I just think it escalated very, very quickly. I'm not gonna sit here and think that whoever's gonna provide any sanctions or suspensions is gonna blame whoever one guy for an entire brawl. Everybody's gonna get a little bit. And I feel like anybody who threw one punch, he's gonna be suspended. I think the point about there might be enough suspensions to where you really can't play a team. If it's a situation where, like, I don't know, 60, 70% of the roster's gone, maybe there won't be no games. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think you're gonna be able to. My opinion, you're not going to be able to blame one person starting this entire brawl.
But let me ask you this, John. I'm going to go full-on lawyer mode here.
Sure.
If he doesn't go for the steal, is there a brawl?
I mean, come on. If he doesn't go for the steal, there's nothing.
Answer the question, sir. You're under oath. If he doesn't go for the steal, is there a brawl? Does a brawl take place if he just lets the clock run out?
Plead the fifth.
Okay. Your Honor, badgering the prosecution. It's not a thing, Barry. Damn it. I should have went to law school.
Plead the fifth. The thing is,
I'm trying to take another look at the video. I'm not trying to dodge the...
No, fine. Go ahead and look at it, because here's the thing. I see what you're saying in terms of the guy going for the steal, right? I can understand that. We can have that discussion. But the fact that if you look at the way the Kansas player went about letting him know that's not okay, right? He gets the block. He could have just turned to his teammates as they walk back to their bench going, yeah, that stuff's not going to be tolerated. But instead to go at the guy who fell down and was laying on the ground, step over him and tell him, you know how it is in any sport if someone steps over you and basically shows you up to that level.
What were you doing?
But you can go back to your teammates going, we're not playing that.
No, man. You went for a steal. You tried to get an easy, cheap bucket. I mean, that was poor sportsmanship, going for a steal with 5 seconds left down 20 just so you could get 2 points in the box score? That's clown stuff. You got what you got.
I also think the guy in street clothes was the guy that really escalated the whole
thing.
He certainly did.
Because
once he saw the guy get stepped over, his teammate get stepped over, he came flying in.
Yeah, he did. Him and the guy that went for the steal are the two that should bear the brunt of the whole thing. I ain't got no problem with the dude with the block.
Well, you can't
say
the brunt of the whole thing because D'Souza had a chair over his head. He's going to bear the brunt of that.
At that point, but guess what? Guess what? D'Souza never has the chair over his head if old boy don't go for the steal.
Yeah, actually, I completely disagree with you, Barry.
Don't go for the steal.
No, you go for the steal.
No, you don't.
Yeah, you do. You play
What's
to the end.
What's the point?
You play to the end.
No, that's how Westbrook got hurt.
The video that I was
Pat
initially
Beverly's
watching,
out there
totally
doing
different.
Clown stuff.
Totally
no, it's
different.
Not.
In the middle of a game, if a guy's trying to call timeout, there's the unwritten of you just let
you
him call timeout.
You play it till the whistle blows.
And Beverly went after it. That's
we'll
totally
it the
different than being down 20 with 5 seconds left.
I agree. I totally agree. I agree 1,000%. You're in the heat of battle. As opposed to the game is out of hand, there's no that basket means nothing. You're in the middle of a game when Bev did it.
Though they're two totally separate things.
Well, I was being facetious. What I'm saying is there's a difference between Pat Beverly going for the steal in the middle of a game while he's trying to call and get a cheap bucket. And I don't remember what the score was at the time that it happened, but you're in the middle of a game. That basket could affect the outcome.
I was there. It was in the middle of the game. It was not a blowout by any stretch.
That's what I mean. So that basket could have affected the outcome of the game. I get that. But when you're down 20, what's the point?
I mean, that's been something that's been taught since literally Little League, dude. You play to the end. You play to the end. But it also is taught if you're on the team on the winning side, if you're the team that's on the winning side, then you show a little bit of respect and you don't necessarily.
Who says? You don't think it was disrespectful that he went for the steal to get an easy
cheap
bucket?
Do they not teach you that? When I grew up playing basketball, they teach you, dude, if you're beaten, you're just all over, just killing a team, okay, you're the one that dribbles the ball out and you drain the clock. But if you're the player that's on the team that's losing, you play till the end.
Because you know the next day at practice, the coach is going to call out the guys that half-assed it.
That's no way.
It's not uncommon.
I've been on teams like that, Barry, where blown out and the coach said that you were dogging it, you're going
to
run.
The coach was walking over to shake hands with 5 seconds left. Heard about it. The coach was like, this game is over. Well, I'm going to go shake this coach's hand. The time wasn't even out yet. It wasn't like he was coaching to the end. Even the coach was like, this is over. I'm going to go shake his hand. Because Bill Self even said they were literally shaking hands with 5 seconds left on the clock when the brawl happened. The coaches both knew that the game was done. What was the point?
I'd be very interested to see if the coach would be upset with the guy that went for the steal at the end.
Like if he hadn't gone for it, hey, you could have got a steal and got 2 points. We could have lost by 18 and not 20.
No,
you think that?
I think he might have been. He might. That's going to be one part. I can see him looking at the video and saying that's one part of the brawl that he might let go.
I'd be interested to hear Bruce Weber's comments. We heard Bill Self's, but you're right. It's a good point. Yeah. I'd like to hear Bruce Weber say he's aggravated with his player.
Yeah, like bro, you just
that specific player for going for the steal.
Correct.
He's probably not. I mean, no coach is going to be like, hey, look, you know, I teach my guys to play to the end. If he was a good coach, he's going to have his back. But that doesn't mean it's right. And that doesn't mean he believes that. He's just going to have his players back.
Because the Beverly situation
my guys
is,
are going to play until there's nothing but zeros on the clock. Down 20 or not. This is a kid that doesn't get in the game much. It was a blowout, something like that.
The difference with the Pat Beverly situation is there's plenty of times, just like in football, the Dan Marino play where it looks like he's going to spike it and then he doesn't. There's plenty of times in the middle of a game where everybody's bluffing, call timeout, and then everybody eases up, and then the team offensively attacks the basket and scores. Yeah. So Pat Beverly, I mean.
Agree.
And it's in the but that's one thing.
There was a reason to do it,
right? So there's your reasoning.
There's no reason to do it.
There's a reason here in the fact that again, whether it's the kid trying to earn playing time or a coach, the way he coaches the game, and we don't know. But from the time you're little on, the coaching staffs on basketball teams always tell you you play till the end, and you show, and especially we don't know in the huddles during the course of the game if he started saying you guys are half-assing it, you're not even trying. At the end
you
of the
don't
game.
Really believe that that guy's playing time was going to increase
this
because
is also
he went for
Kansas,
a steal
Kansas
with 5 seconds
State, and it's a big
left.
Rivalry.
And they're losing by 20, Joel.
I get it, Barry, but I'm just saying, I'm not going to sit
if
there
the
and
coach,
say.
If the coach was like, well, I'm going to go shake his hand, this is over.
I could say, honestly, on the other side of the equation, if I'm Kansas, go ahead. Who cares? Steal.
You oh, take now the, that I agree
take
with.
Take the steal. Go ahead and
you
get
didn't
the layup,
need to go
too.
Block
I don't
it.
Care.
You didn't need to go block it. Yeah, but at the same time, I get why. Bro, really, it's like. I could see my thought process if I'm on the Kansas team, and it was the guy that got the ball stolen from him that got the block, by the way. D'Souza, I think, was the one that got the block. But if I'm on that team and that's me and you just stole, like, I'm just trying to run out the clock, get this game over with, and here you go, showing off, trying to get this. Come on, man. Like, and then if I block it and I probably stood over and you can go, see, stupid, you should have just let the clock run out. You don't know what he said. He could have just said that. See, if you would have just let the clock run out, you wouldn't have got embarrassed just now. by getting your stuff thrown into the 15th row. You don't know what he said, but I don't know. I do think I would like to hear from the coach.
Yeah.
I think that's a good point.
Because
all of that was unnecessary. It was all unnecessary, and his playing time isn't going up if he gets that steal and a bucket. No, nobody's going to be like, well, guess what, son? We're going to double your minutes next time because you made us lose by 18 and not 20. And you don't know that it would.
I know plenty of coaches that would say whether they're trying to send a message to the players that should be out there all the time or just to reward the hustle play, that in the next game, that kid's going to see playing time and see it quicker than he would have in the previous whatever many games because of something like that.
Chances are that kid sucked, and that's why he was in there at that point.
But here's the other point. D'Souza doesn't suck. Why are you in the game up 20 with 5 seconds to play?
Totally agree.
So, all right.
We got a couple callers.
Let's work on at least one of these callers on the way in. Johnny was first to get in here on this. Johnny, what's up?
Okay. Johnny. My comment is I'm with Barry. Joel, honestly, like Barry said, if he was that great of a player, he wouldn't have been in there at that point to try to make the steal. Second thing is the Kansas players were pretty much showing some respect. Now, I'm going to take the situation and twist it a little bit. What if that Kansas player would have ran down or shot a three or tried to dunk the ball? Same type of disrespect that guy showed by trying to steal the ball.
I like you, Johnny.
I understand playing to the buzzer. But, I mean, that's disrespectful, and that's, to me, that's what caused the brawl.
That's call of the year right there. I like you, Johnny. All of that. I agree with all that.
Appreciate you. Let's go to Jonathan to see what he has to say.
He's going to disagree with me. Damn it, Nick.
I'm just saying.
Jonathan,
No, I'm just saying we're getting both of them in.
Hey, what's up, guys? I remember a couple months ago whenever they had that game, the high school game, where it got out of hand and they almost caused a fight, and other team ran up the score. Barry was all about saying, hey, you guys got to play to the end. If you don't like it, then be better. Well, hey, Barry, I hate to say it, but you're kind of flipping the script on this. You can't have it one way and have it the other. So I'm with Barry. I'm sorry. I'm with Joel and Nick on this one. You play to the buzzer is over. Yeah, hey, here's an idea. Maybe don't suck and get your stuff thrown into the 15th row and you make that layup. But that's just my opinion.
I don't recall that being my take on it. It might have been. I don't think that I would be like, yeah, if you're
Jonathan was outstanding call.
If you're up 100, then I don't think that would be my take on that.
And I genuinely did not know where either one of those calls were.
I know,
going.
I don't remember my take on that.
I do.
This guy, he said, what's the point spread? Maybe the player was,
shaving.
And I don't want to,
Yeah.
We're not getting all that.
Yeah, so. I don't know that in a high school game, if they're up by 100, I think my take was, what was my take on that?
Your take was adamantly that if you don't like getting pounded like that, then do something about it, and you play till the final buzzer. So, look, six of one, half a dozen of another. We each got a call on our side, and we just agree to move on. That's just the way I think that this one plays out.
I hate you. I don't remember that being my take. What was it? Was it Jonathan or Joseph?
I look forward to telling you whatever. What your takes were on previous topics as we go forward. I think that's something that
this
we
should
work on.
This is a bad precedent.
I like it. I like it very much.
I do not like it.
But play through to the final buzzer of the show, Barry. Until you hear the fart noise, it ain't over until it's over. I'm just letting you know. Just play through to the fart noise,
that's
or
our buzzer.
It's on you.
The fart noise
that's
is our
right.
buzzer.
That's right. Play to the final buzzer. That's the way we're going to do things around here.
Oh, that's funny.
All right, rolling through hour number two, 3 hour show. Plenty of opportunities for you to be like Johnny and Jonathan as they got in during that segment. Be a suspect. Come on in. HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Boy, if certain audio was on the air. That one would have been isolated.
This is the song that was playing when Stephen A. Smith was
boxing.
Yeah,
that video of him. I saw Mike Jackson posted it on Facebook. I don't know if he posted it on Twitter or not, but there is video circulating of Stephen A. Smith hitting mitts, and I use the word hitting lightly. we'll make some air quotes around hitting mitts. I never want to hear that dude talk about boxing or MMA. Just strictly, not because he's not qualified, even though I don't think he is, because he doesn't know anything about the sport. He obviously doesn't watch it.
Oh, my God.
But just the fact that the way he threw punches, like, you shouldn't be allowed to talk about combat sports.
He doesn't even extend his arms.
It's weird. I don't know what that first punch is. First of all, I don't know if I even blame Stephen A. Smith or the guy holding mitts. I've never seen a striking coach hold a mitt down by his knee.
No, he's
just, unless you're asking for a kick. And then in that case, what you do is you take your wrist and you turn it backwards because you're asking for a leg kick. But what he's doing is asking, like, what is that, a knee punch? That's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Like, you're going to punch somebody in the b-hole.
There's no hope with Stephen A. He's just like, all right, let's just get this over with.
Yeah, he's like, here, throw me a b-hole punch. Boom. Okay, cool. Now, give me a left hook.
He's dancing more than he's boxing.
Yeah, it's not pretty. He does have him some biceps.
I see that.
He's got him some swole.
Yeah.
Just a terrible look as far as punching goes. I would not have let that video been released. I'd have been like, nope.
Same thing with the James Harden. At least James Harden and them, they could say, well, you know what? I've been playing basketball my whole life.
Yeah, I'm a basketball player. And yeah, it was, I don't expect them to have.
I'm on TV.
I don't expect them to have good footwork. I don't expect them to know about the sport. I don't expect them to be good at hitting a mitts or hitting a bag or anything else. I don't expect that from James Harden and Westbrook. It's funny because they're athletic and athletes.
Yeah,
and
they look.
It looked like a sumo wrestler doing ballet. Like, it just was like, wow, this is weird. But with Stephen A., the problem I have is I had to sit one time after a boxing match. I had to sit and watch him break it down and tell me and disagree with Teddy Atlas, world-class boxer, by the way, knows his stuff, and sit there and tell Teddy Atlas that he was wrong. And then start throwing jabs at the screen like he knew what he was doing. I was like, this is just weird. And now I see this video. Nah, player, you can't do that no more. I'm going to need you to stop. Nope, not having it. Also, by the way, since we're on the topic of shows where they just argue for no reason, I went to the barbershop today. Shout out to Current Cuts, J-Ro. I walk in, and what is the show called with Skip Bayless and Shannon Sharp? What's it called?
I don't know.
I don't know what that show is called. It's something undefeated.
Oh, Undisputed or something like that?
Whatever. We Lose. I don't know what it's called.
Okay.
Shannon Sharp says Skip Bayless's name 50 times a minute. I even say, like, if there was a drinking game where you had to take a shot every time Shannon says Skip,
yep,
you would be drunk within the first into the first segment.
Look, Skip, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you all day, Skip. The kind of thing that I'm talking about, Skip, is that we're not going to get into this today, Skip, because it's a talk show, and I'm not going to talk today, Skip.
It's terrible.
Skip.
It was awful. And then I had to listen to Skip Bayless. Tell me that Barry Bonds was the best hitter ever in baseball. The best hitter. Not the best home run hitter. Not the best power hitter. He was the best hitter in baseball ever.
Stop it.
And I was like, bro, really? Like, you're just going to exclude Ted Williams and guys like Pete, like, Rose. Pure hitters, I mean, Pete Rose. And Pete Rose was a lot of singles. Like Tony Gwynn. Like, Tony Gwynn could hit the ball anywhere he wanted at any time. And I get it. Barry Bonds was a prolific power hitter. And Shannon Sharp made the point about, well, they walked Bonds with the bases loaded. I get that. He is a prolific power hitter. But he was not the greatest hitter of all time in baseball.
I agree with that.
So it's just, now? It was, yeah, that's good.
Okay. Just want to make sure that you feel like there's love in the room that, you know, that I can agree with you.
Somebody texted and said on the morning talk shows on TV, they said that the coach of K-State was telling them not to press. And that the kids just went
let
out.
Let the clock run out?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that the kids pressed anyway. So several people on the text line agree with me. I just want to point that out as well. That's very important to know.
Let me go back and tell you some of the text messages I saw. Joel is right. Joel is always right.
I saved it.
Oh.
Settle down. Right. Yeah. Now I'm not reading it. No, now I'm not reading it.
Delete. I already did. It doesn't matter.
Someone texted and said, he gave her peas to the baseball writer's wife. Her peas.
Could be a vegetarian.
H-E-R space P-E-A-S. He gave her peas to the baseball writer's wife.
Could be a generous vegetarian trying to share the vegetables.
Just trying to get her to eat her veggies. You don't know.
He said, what I see is Bruce Weber told him to stop and back off a little bit, but he doesn't blame him for playing hard. is what he says.
But the coach is telling him not to press. Like, yeah. Don't press. It's pointless. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. But he also said
he doesn't
the kids
blame
are young
them for
kids.
Play
hard. Okay. They play hard. They were disappointed. You don't want to take that fire out of their bellies.
Look, you don't want to tell your kids, but at the same time, you got to be realistic.
I've totally done that in a basketball game, by the way. Yeah, we were down 15 points. I absolutely stole the ball. I absolutely went for the layup, and I absolutely made it, and I thought I was a badass, and we lost. And I did not care.
You lost by 13,
and
here's
not the crazy
15,
thing.
And you felt good about it.
Literally, that's what it was.
I believe every bit of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know. Care. I was the guy that I was literally, they just put me in to foul out. Like, it was like, just go rough them up. And so I would get in there, and I would just flail about on defense.
So you would
and
be the guy
foul.
Going for the steal.
Yeah. And I would go, no, but I wouldn't get it. I would have knocked the dude over. I would have fouled him.
And then the brawl would have ensued that way.
No, they would have just been like, get his dumbass out of the game before it hurts somebody.
Other team would have said, dumbass over-aggressive guy is hacking me up, and I'm going to drop an elbow on
him. On my jersey, it didn't have Laminack. It just had five fouls. That was my nickname. Five fouls, Laminack.
Joel likes to remind me of the one time I went to the Met and start
things
up. I
haven't brought that up in forever.
Yeah. Did you watch the Houston Sports Awards?
I didn't watch them. I saw the news coverage leading into them.
Something interesting happened. So when we get back, I want to talk to you about what happened.
Okay.
I think you both will find this very interesting and telling and infuriating all at the same time.
Good.
Okay.
That's where we're going to start our the second half of the show. So look forward to it. Half of the show in the books. Second half still to go. That means plenty more of the show. Join us, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Right now, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. Josh Pesikoff and his staff do fantastic work. I signed up about 3.5 years ago. I re-upped about 6 months ago. And why wouldn't I? They saved me thousands over my bills with my previous energy provider. And along the way, they communicate. They let me know where they've saved me the most energy. They give me on my monthly bill where the hours are of the day that I am the most excessive in energy use, where I'm saving a lot of money. And then you can do comparisons and you can find out how much you're saving and why you're saving it. And if you're, have a couple hours where there's high energy usage, then you can try and figure out what's causing all of that and try and minimize it. Basically, they're great at customer service. They're locally owned and operated, and they have you in mind. If you call them at 844-INFUSE2 or log on to infuseenergy.com, you're going to find out exactly what I'm talking about. But call them, 844-INFUSE2, and find out that they're going to have a human being on the phone, not an automated system. They're going to talk to you and ask you as many questions as you ask them, because they want to know when you use energy the most, when you use it the least. Is it for business, your family? And then they're going to pinpoint the best deal and the best plan they could possibly give you. If there's a rare occurrence when another company in town can beat their prices, they're going to let you know that too, because they're going to be 100% honest all of the time. And that's such a rare and valuable trait when you're doing business with a company. Simply put, they have a 5 out of 5 star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. It's the best rating you can get. So they are the gold standard. Mention ESPN 97.5, get a $25 bill credit off your first bill, and they'll take you through every possible option. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back, 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half of the show starts now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a way back Wednesday. Nick had hour number one, Barry hour number two. I am hour number three. Songs from the year 2010. Before we went to the break and closed out hour number one, Barry, you teased us a little bit with something from the Houston Sports Awards last night. Do tell.
So somebody texted it. I didn't watch it. I'm not watching it. I mean, it did look fancier. It looked like the nicest one so far.
Oh, they're always nice.
Like,
I think Patty Smith
better.
And her staff do a really good job of making it first class.
Would agree. Even though Patty Smith hates me, I would agree with that.
I thought it looked
nice. I thought it presented well. I thought all the pictures that I saw.
Smart
did
woman.
She message you about me
no,
a lot?
No, but I would agree with that.
That
she probably
hates
does hate you.
Yeah, but, Well, but it doesn't surprise me at all.
What was that name?
Smart woman.
Yeah.
You shut your mouth. But it looked nice. It looked like a great event.
Where was it again? I'm sorry. Which venue? Where was this?
At the Hotel
America. The one right across from the Toyota. Yeah, the one across from the Toyota Center. Yeah.
Okay.
It looked nice. It looked like it went well. But apparently, and someone texted this, I can't validate this. I don't know if this to be true. But someone said yesterday at the Houston Sports Awards, they booed Bill O'Brien. What do y'all think about that?
He's not liked.
Yeah.
He's probably the most, even with everything that's gone through with the Astros, everything that's going on with the Rockets, I would say he's the most hated sports figure in the city, hands down. I believe that the only reason he was probably there is they were honoring Mr. McNair. Otherwise, I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell he even shows up for any part of it.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think he would have been there. But
no way.
I think the booing, I would like to, first of all, I would like to know, was it a lot?
Was or it was a it rumble just like, or was yeah. it a roar?
Was it just like one dude in the back that had too many margaritas? Like, bleh! Or was it a pronounced booing from the fans in attendance?
Well, you know who else was in attendance to show us that he's alive and well?
Who?
Cal McNair.
Oh.
Yeah, he was there.
No comment.
But no comment on that. No.
I do think it's interesting that he's getting booed.
I love it.
And the past, week or two, maybe even 3 weeks, we're all talking about how Bill O'Brien has gotten a pass because he's the one guy that still has his job, and all these other stories have been a distraction to what the bad season that the Texans had, ending in another year of where they can't get past they can't get a second playoff win. So I think it's interesting because really, in some ways, he really didn't get a pass if he's getting booed at that. I mean, that's kind of a big event, right?
Yeah.
It's a big event in Houston.
Yeah.
Pretty fascinating if you're getting booed at an award show.
You know the worst thing about getting booed too? It's hard to turn that around.
Yeah, there's no explanation.
You have to do something drastic or something to really go from that hated guy to being that really likable guy. Unless you win. I mean, if you win, that's
the easiest one.
Jerry Jones was in attendance.
Jerry Jones was there. I thought that was a very classy move, again, to honor Mr. McNair. Yeah. I didn't realize they were very good friends. Very high, they had a lot of respect for one another. He was on ABC 13 with David Nuno before the events to talk about the fact that he really had a good feeling. He said, and remember now, he had Super Bowls in his building, but he said he had not felt more in terms of the attention to detail and the way the whole event was handled in any city he's seen a Super Bowl in than the ones in Houston, and he complimented Mr. McNair for that.
I see Mary Lou Retton was there. She
was honored. Carl Lewis, okay. Mary Lou Retton, and Rudy Tomjanovich were all the inductees into the Houston Sports Hall of Fame.
Good. So she may not like me, but she listens. I know, Joel. You too. I get it. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't hate you.
She does not. She does text me on a regular basis.
That was my point.
Yeah.
She might not have liked the message.
I didn't go out on the air and ruffle her feathers.
So. I didn't either. I wrote an article and ruffled her feathers. Well, then went on the air after she sent me a message.
I think the article came after on the air.
Huh?
I think we said it on the air first, and then you double down with the article.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. That's a fact.
Yeah. So, regardless, look, I mean, from the time that they created the entire idea and took not only the Houston Sports Hall of Fame, but then kind of parlayed it into the Houston Sports Awards. I think it's great. I think
I think it was needed
that we all vote on it. So they get the people that cover the sports to be able to vote on it. I think the fact that, they got Coach of the Year right. They got Kelvin Sampson. They got Kelvin Sampson coming off a team and what he was able to do, especially with everything that else that had happened. Executive of the Year was Jim Crane.
That was weird.
That was
Astros
different.
Won like 3 big awards, bragged about it on Twitter, and then got roasted, which is stupid if you're in New Indiana
York,
and you're roasting the Astros for getting a local Houston Sports Hall of Fame award or whatever sports award. You're a dumbass.
Basically, you look across the board and go, "What other choices did they have?"
The Texans sucked. The Rockets didn't do anything. The Astros got to the World Series last year. Of course they're going to get awards in the city of Houston. Yeah. Who else are you giving it to?
I know what I'm getting.
Stupid.
I'm going to give you a chance to win some WWE Worlds Collide tickets. Toyota Center excited to host the WWE Worlds Collide Tour January the 25th. On the eve of the Royal Rumble, WWE NXT will battle NXT UK to see who obtains brand supremacy. Caller 15 right now, 713-780-3776, 713-780-ESPN. You get a pair of tickets to see Adam Cole and the Undisputed Era. Is it the Undisputed Era? I don't know wrestling like you guys do. Shayna Baszler, Walter and Imperium, Kaylee Ray, and more. You want to figure out who has brand superiority? Well, you better be there. Your chance right now. Caller 15, 713-780-3776. If you don't win them, you can still get them. ToyotaCenter.com. Good luck. I think it's ToyotaCenterTix.com. That's what it's always been.
Okay. You might as well just read that in French. I don't think you got it. I wouldn't have got it right. Let me see. I wouldn't have got. Yeah, I think it's the Undisputed Era. Okay. By the way, I wanted to see. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I'm not a wrestling guy.
I'm not either. I.
It's too real for me.
Now, see, I will say this though about it.
Mm-hmm.
When the characters are entertaining.
No, sure.
I'll watch it.
Okay.
Yeah. And I loved Stone Cold and The Rock. That era was the best. Because The Rock was so funny.
People love WWE.
People I get it.
Any and all the events. That's why they hit the big buildings. That's why they have the success that they have. Yeah. And I'm not faulting anybody. I just, you know, I couldn't name you like.
That would be like you having to name MMA fighters. You just don't. That's not your thing. Yeah, I get it. Totally get it.
So caller 15, good luck there. The switchboard lit up. So again, there you go.
Dude,
shows you right there. People want to win.
Oh man. If you sleep on the wrestling fan base, you are really sleeping on something.
I would like to point out, Barry, that a Twitter account has taken the lists that we submitted for Wayback Wednesday, and they have corrected spelling. So I believe they deserve the appropriate punishment.
Who corrected where? What? I'll have to
shot by Esco instead of monster. They put most. Someone said it was typed moster, and they decided to call it out. So you have full reign to just unleash.
Yep,
it is what it is.
Boy, you got nothing better to do. Shot by Esco. You got nothing better. You're a grown ass man with someone with a typo. That it's not like I spell monster. With an A at the end, Monstar or some. Obviously, just skipped a letter as I was typing. And this is what you're a grown ass man. You're going to take time out of your day to correct another grown ass man's spelling on the internet. I never understood that. And this is why the if you correct my spelling and grammar online, you get blocked. And that's not just Twitter, Facebook. Look, I said it before. I'll block my mom. If my mom came on one of my Facebook posts and was like, Sonya spelled monster wrong, I'll be like, damn, mom. Now I got to block you. Sorry. That's just what
so
it
you
is.
You still listen to the show, though, right?
Okay.
No, I'm saying because she listens daily, right?
Okay.
I'm not bringing, I'm not, no. All I'm saying is you've said on several occasions your mom listens. I mean, obviously, my wife doesn't listen.
Right.
Until I catch her listening. Remember, I caught her. Yeah, I caught her doing that. Deliva on Twitter says O'Brien was there because he was nominated for Coach of the Year. He really wasn't booed, but considering it was a bougie $25K per table warm and fuzzy event, the reception was definitely negative. I would also beg to disagree with you. He wasn't there for Coach of the Year because if he was just up for Coach of the Year, there were plenty of people up for awards that didn't show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of mean.
James Harden's not going to show because he's up for Player of the Year.
You don't think so?
No, I don't at all. But I think that if they're going to honor the owner of the Texans,
well, he's
Bill O'Brien's going to be there.
I get it if you're in season and you don't show up.
Okay.
No? If you were, I mean, you know, it's mid-season. You're not going to. And they're in the middle of a losing streak.
Bet you Jose Altuve or was Alex Bregman there? If Alex Bregman wasn't there and he was up for Player of the Year.
Was he up for Player of the Year?
I'm pretty sure.
I think he won, didn't he? Bregman won an award.
See if he accepted it.
Let's see.
Or maybe the Deliva can tell me if he accepted it.
Well, it's on the Astros Twitter account because that's where they took all the heat. So let's go. I'll look at the break.
All right, so we'll get that information for you coming back from break. Right now, I want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. Fitz Roofing is the only place to go in Houston if you need any roofing work done at your house. If you need the roof fixed, if you need a new roof put on your house, and you've been looking for someone that's not a storm chaser or someone that's a deposit thief, you look no further than Fitz Roofing. Quite simply, they have the ratings to back up everything that they say they're going to do. A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau. 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor. They do it right. They do it right the first time, and they do it for you. FITZRoofing.com, but better yet, call them 832-521-3001. You call them, you get a free no-obligation inspection today. They come out and look at what they need to do. They tell you what they can help with, and then they go away. You want them to come back? Just reach back out. They're going to come back and do fantastic work. They've used the best product in the business, CertainTeed Shingles, so much so they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Their base warranties, longer than your average roofer. They take care of Houstonians, and that's what you want to hear when you're doing business in H-Town. Check them out, FITZRoofing.com, or get that free no-obligation inspection, 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference, one home at a time.
In my heart. Reaching a fever pitch is bringing me out the dark.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra. There's a
fire starting in my... Woosah!
Rub your ear.
Rolling through hour number two, three-hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. The Deliva is back in. He says that Altuve and Crane accepted the award, said Bregman was an Aspen.
Mm. So he didn't make it. Yeah, the awards were Bregman was Athlete of the Year.
Okay.
And Crane was owner. Let's see. Executive of the Year, Jim Crane. Athlete of the Year, Alex Bregman. Moment of the Year, Jose Altuve.
At least Altuve and Crane were there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, why are you knocking Bregman?
I'm giving him credit.
But Bregman's...
Now, he said, too, that they said that when they said that he was in Aspen, stay tuned for why, in quotes, if that means that maybe... Most people go to Aspen to get knee surgery or surgery.
Oh, really?
Oh. Ask Kobe. I mean, he got more than that when he got there or tried to. Well, but yeah. But at least that's where a lot of players go for off-season surgery, I believe.
Ooh, that's not good.
No. Hope that's not the case, right? On a baseball note before we turn the page, I don't know if you saw this or not, but if you're an Astros fan, you probably love Pedro Martinez a little bit more than you did yesterday. Pedro Martinez rips Mike Fiers for blowing the whistle on the Astros. And his point was pretty simple. I mean, he basically said, if you were going to do that when you were on the Astros, then he has guts. But to go out and do it after you leave the Houston Astros because they don't want you anymore, that doesn't show me anything. You're just a bad teammate.
Nice. You're a bad person.
I like that.
Yeah, me too.
I like it a lot.
I do too. And I'm not a big Pedro fan. I think he was
I loved him.
Cocky. But boy,
so good.
But boy, was he nasty.
Rubber arms, filthy. So good.
And when he threw old man Don Zimmer, was it Don Zimmer?
Yep.
When he threw old man Zimmer down, I enjoyed that.
Martinez went on to say, whatever happens in the clubhouse stays in the clubhouse, and Fiers broke the rules. I agree with cleaning up the game. I agree that the fact that the commissioner is taking a hard stance on this, but at the same time, players should not be the one dropping the whistleblower.
I would agree.
This translates to other sports. When we talked about when Kendrick Perkins and Durant got into it, there's certain things that are just unwritten rules about what stays in the locker room. And, he was very, very blunt about it. He said, if you have integrity, you find ways to tell everybody in the clubhouse, hey, we might get in trouble for this. I don't want to be a part of this. You call your GM. You tell him. Or you can call anybody at MLB and say, I don't want to be a part of this. Or you tell your team, get me out of here. I don't like this. Then you show me something. But if you leave Houston, and most likely you didn't agree with Houston when you left, and then you go and drop the entire team under the bus, I don't trust you. I won't trust you because we did have that rule.
Right. And you know what?
Go Pedro.
And stop acting like the A's weren't doing anything illegal as by the letter of the law. Stop it. because you know what's going on the A's. But, you know, I don't want to beat this dead horse anymore. But I'm glad Pedro came out and said that.
Agreed.
Good for him. I've always liked him. He was annoying to me, but just because.
Why?
I don't know. There was something about him that rubbed me the wrong way, but I respected the hell out of him, and I did enjoy watching him pitch. There's, for some reason, too, there's like a soft spot in my heart for Montreal Expos and former Expos.
Larry Charlie Walker. Said the same thing.
Larry Walker, Pedro Martinez, Andre Dawson. Like, I dig it. I dig those cats. That whole franchise was cool to me for some reason.
It was a bad set of circumstances with the stadium and the city and all that.
But boy, they had some dominant teams.
I mean, just look at all the different players that look. I mean, you talk about where Randy Johnson got his start,
mm-hmm.
you know, as well as Pedro Martinez.
Mm-hmm.
So you had those two, and like you said, Andre the Hawk Dawson. You know, well before there was Vlad the Second, Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Oh, yeah.
was there. They had a lot of really good players. Warren Cromartie is a name that not a lot of people might recognize that played there. But yeah, from a player perspective, the Expos had some players. There's no doubt. Are you reading something?
Yeah, no, I was just.
So Zion Williamson makes his debut tonight.
Ooh. It's going to be interesting.
ESPN's covering the game.
Zion Williamson, the guy that weighs 300 pounds, according to Skip Bayless.
Well, I mean.
He weighs 300 pounds. I was like, what the?
Well,
I'm almost cursed. What are you watching, Skip? What are you talking about? I realize the dude's 285, but 285 on an athlete and 300 is a big difference. Can we put 300 pounds on Zion Williamson?
I mean, the big thing with which is again, and they took it a little too far in the quotes that they stated. But Nick and I were talking before the season started when I said, you do realize at Duke when he weighed in at 280, he weighed more than anybody in the NBA. Period.
Yeah, he's a big boy.
So he's a big kid.
But 300.
But the fact that you came out and issued a press release that said we're teaching him how to walk and we're teaching him how to run.
Yeah.
You're a grown-ass man at this point. You're going to start learning how to relearn how to walk and run.
Yeah.
Now, the one thing I will agree with is what they really focused on, when you do go up to the rim for a big dunk, don't come down straight-legged. Because that's putting all that 290, 280,
and all
that. They
did talk about that on the show. They were talking about a two-point landing. I was like, oh, my God, what are we doing?
The bigger thing is, and Richard Jefferson had a good point this morning on Get Up, which is when you go up for a big power dunk or whatever, you can still do that, but use the rim to your advantage. Hang a little bit to take some of that pounding when you land and the torque out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you dunk, don't just immediately let go of the rim all in one motion and come down so hard with all that violence and that torque. Kind of hang on the rim for a split second, stop that momentum, and it'll do you a world of good on your knees.
Yeah, especially
and the rest of your
especially knees. If you're big.
Yeah, and he is a big kid.
Yeah,
but sure. I mean, let the kid play. It's like we used to talk about in baseball and with other sports, but with guys that you're worried about them needing Tommy John surgery so that you nurse them along the way.
Uh-huh.
Jobber Chamberlain, Steven Strasburg. Guess what? Those two guys that you nursed along the way had on innings restrictions and did all those things. They both had Tommy John surgery.
Yeah.
So just let Zion be Zion.
Yep. Because if you start trying to restrict him or change the way he plays, then he's not the player you drafted.
Now, I will.
It is smart to try certain things, but you don't want to change the dude.
I will also say this. The people that think that Memphis should have, that New Orleans should have taken Ja Morant instead of Zion Williamson as a franchise, there's no way I agree with that. Because just from a marketing tool alone, from when he came out of college, don't make that judgment now because you know Ja Morant really can play.
Mm-hmm.
But coming out of Duke with all the fanfare.
There was only one choice.
There was just one number. Exactly right.
And again, I hate to say this, but I thought Shannon Sharp had a good point. New Orleans already had a couple of point guards. They already had players at that position that Ja played.
Ball,
yeah, you weren't going to go out and add a third guy to that mix. So Zion made the most sense. Sometimes you draft like if you're, you know, you've got guys at that position already. If you got it's like the Rockets. If they had the number one pick next year, they're not drafting a shooting guard or a point guard. They've got that already. You know, regardless of who it was, they may trade down or whatever, but yeah, you weren't doing that if you were New Orleans.
There you go. Hour number two in the books. That means two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show comes up next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Like the tip on some incense.